Good morning, everyone, and happy Sabbath once again. It's good to see all of you here. My sermon topic is something that we've been doing little by little at Lent. We're going through the Minor Prophets, and I felt impressed to share the same topic with you today. We're covering the book of Micah, and my topic is, what does God really want for Christmas? Let's bow our heads and say a short word of prayer. Dear Lord, we want to ask for your presence to be with us. We ask that you make this message clear, and that you just guide our time with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to show you a picture. I'm going to ask you, do you know who am I? Which one's me?
The one on the left.
The one on the right is me. When I had straight hair and not wavy ones. When I was growing up, my dad, who passed away earlier this year, when I was growing up, my dad didn't ask for much for the holiday season. He didn't want fancy electronics or expensive tools. There was one wish that he asked for every single Christmas, and it really bothered me. So me and my brother would not always get along. Does that happen in your families? You ever fight with siblings? And my dad said, you know what? I don't want anything for Christmas. I just want you two to stop what? Oh, some of you know what it's like. For him, peace in the home mattered more than anything that could be wrapped under a tree. And I was listening to some Christmas songs, and there's a Christmas song I heard. I'm not going to sing it for you. But it opens not with a request for gadgets or gifts, but with a longing for something deeper. It's a song, and I was like, it was about Santa, but let me switch it, okay? The song starts, "Do you remember me? I sat upon your knee. I wrote to you with childhood fantasies." And yes, it's about Santa Claus, but I was thinking about sitting on people's knees, and I'm wondering, have you ever thought about asking Jesus for things? Do you remember me, Jesus? I sat upon your knee. I wrote to you. I prayed to you with childhood fantasies. What did we pray for as kids? What did we want to get? Oh, by the way, the song is called My Grown-Up Christmas List. Don't know if you've ever heard this before. I think Kelly Clarkson sang it. But I wonder, the things we ask for as a kids, do they change as we grow up? Do you remember wanting a bicycle? Do you remember wanting a cell phone, wanting this one? Like, we wanted, everything was for me, me, me. And as we grow up, hopefully as we grew up, we started asking for other things. So she continues, she says, well, I'm all grown up now and still need help somehow. I'm not a child, but my heart can still dream. So here's my lifelong wish, my grown-up Christmas list. Not for who?
Myself.
Not for myself, but for a world in need. So her prayers, her wishes changed. Everything as a kid was always about me, me, me. And as she grew up, her eyes opened and she started praying for her siblings, for her family, for her work, for her friends. And if you watch the news, shouldn't we pray for the world? Isn't that our commission? Right? No more lives torn apart, that wars would never start, and time would heal all hearts. And everyone would have a friend. And right would always win, and love would never end. She ends, "This is my grown-up Christmas list." This song sounds like Micah 6 verse 8, set to music. It's not about Christmas presents, it's about the healing of relationships. It's about justice and mercy, about hearts made whole again. In many ways, the song expressed what my dad wanted in the home. And I believe it expressed what our Heavenly Father wants for His family here on earth as well. Amen? What my dad wanted from Christmas was not a gift from a store. He wanted harmony in the house. You know, many parents feel the same way. And I believe our Heavenly Father longs more for this more deeply. So what does God want for Christmas? What would bless His heart? Well, Micah 6 answers that question. Let's turn to Micah. I have the verses on the screen if you want. But Micah 6 and verse 6. Lord, what do you want from us? And God answers in one of the clearest, most beautiful summaries of genuine faith in the entire Bible. And so let's go to Micah 6, verse 6, and please say amen if you're there or if you are following with me on the screen. Amen. Amen. All right. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? They used to sacrifice animals and give that to God. Will the Lord be pleased with how many? 1,000 rams. Is that a lot of sacrifices? Do you know how many times we said, God, please forgive me? Has it been 1,000 yet? Will the Lord be pleased with 10,000 rivers of oil? Is that a lot? He's exaggerating, right? Or maybe we've done enough sin that we've asked God forgiveness that many times. Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? Shall I give the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Who did that? Who gave his firstborn for... God did. Right? And that's prefigured in Micah. The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul. He has shown you, O humans, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you. But to do what? To do justly. To love what?
Mercy.
To love mercy. And to walk humbly with your God. You know what? This is God's Christmas list. It's simple, it's clear, and it's beautiful. Ellen White said this, I'm paraphrasing, to love God supremely and to love one another impartially is the very essence of religion. Loving God and loving everybody. By the way, I shared this at PAES earlier this week. We talked about Santa Claus. And people know the songs of Santa and what he does. And I said, Jesus is not Santa. Amen? Amen. And I said, Santa gives gifts only to the what? To the good. Jesus gives gifts to who?
Everybody.
So my appeal on PAES was, this Christmas season, do not be like Santa. Be like Jesus. Can I say that again? This Christmas season, do not be like Santa. Be like Jesus. And so my appeal to them was, I know you always give gifts to people that are nice to you. But what if somebody made fun of you this year? What if someone treated you badly? What if somebody hurt you? I challenge you, when you give a gift this Christmas season, don't just give it to your friends. Give it to the ones that were mean to you.
Amen.
Be like Jesus, don't be like Santa. Anyways, people are like, is that going to go over well with the parents? Let's go into Micah. So before we explore what God wants us to do, it helps us to understand what the world Micah preached to. So Micah preached about 700 years before Jesus, during the same time as Isaiah. Assyria was rising, and it was capturing cities. It was making kingdoms scared of what was going on. But Micah was not concerned about the foreign nations. Instead, his deepest concern is, what's going on with God's people? Does that sound like our world today? There's a lot of things going on in Ukraine and Russia and Gaza. You hear people fights between Thailand and Cambodia. You hear other things going on in the world. And we could be focused on what's happening out there. But Micah said, let's focus on what's happening where? Here. In our hearts, in our families, in our churches. What's happening inside with God's own people? Society was breaking down from within, you know? So his audience was, there were leaders that were corrupt back then. The wealthy were taking advantage of the poor. Courts were being dishonest, and prophets were saying whatever the people wanted to hear. Religious worship continued, but people's hearts were far from God. This was the world that Micah was preaching to. Does it sound similar to our world today?
Exactly.
So Micah confronts injustice, but he offers hope. He warns of the consequences of sin, but he points to a coming shepherd from Bethlehem who would bring peace and restoration. And you might have heard this prophecy, Micah 5 verse 2, but you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the nations of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one who is to be ruler in Israel, who's going forth from everlasting to everlasting, from old, from everlasting to everlasting. The word Bethlehem, does anybody know? In Hebrew it means house of what?
Bread.
House of bread. And it means a storehouse. Now there was more than one Bethlehem in the Bible. So they specifically mentioned Bethlehem Ephrata as the place where Jesus is coming from. You know, in a world marked by injustice, conflict, and broken relationships, Micah declares that God wants more than religious activity. What he wants is transformed hearts. Going to church will not save you. Reading the Bible only will not save you. Just because you pray, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not what?
Love.
I'm a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, though I go to all the prophecy seminars, all the Sabbath schools, though I go to listen to all the preachers, if I don't have what?
Love,
it profits me nothing. You know, though I give, anyways, God wants transformed hearts. God is not asking for dramatic offerings. He's not asking for impressive sacrifices. God is calling for a community of people who reflect his what?
Character.
His character. Micah 6 verse 8 talks about the character of God. And his character is to... Christmas is not just a celebration of a baby that was born. It's the arrival of God's heart made visible. This is called the incarnation, right? When God became human and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the one of the only begotten of the Father. People ask the question, well, what does God want? Does he want me to give more money? I mean, giving more is nice, right? Does he want me to do this, do that? What does he want me to do? So we're like, do I come with him with burnt offerings? Do I come before him with thousands of rivers of oil? And they think that God is like a distant king that needs to be impressed. And that today, we're like, you know what? If I serve more, if I volunteer more, if I donate more, if I attend more, maybe God will be happy with me. And in December, we often rush and we try to buy many things. We think we're going to give him something big, but God is not asking us to perform or impress him. Even though Follow the Star was great, he is not asking us to do this to show off. He wants a changed heart. God loved the world so much, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not what?
Perish,
but have everlasting life. And he continues, he says, for God did not send his Son into the world to what?
Condemn.
To condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I read somewhere that somebody said, you Christians keep condemning everybody, but God did not send his Son to condemn, so why are you doing that? We are not here to condemn the world. We are here to tell them about who? About Jesus, so that they might be saved. When Jesus saw the woman caught in adultery, did he condemn her?
No.
He said, has no one condemned you? And he encouraged her. He says, go and sin what?
No.
Go and sin no more. What God actually wants is a changed heart. He has shown you, O man, what is good, what the Lord requires for you. So what does he ask? To do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with the Lord your God. These are three gifts that are unpurchasable. You can't buy them in a store, but they can change your relationships, our homes, our church, and our community. And let's look at them one by one. So number one, do justly. What does that mean? This woman is picking up someone that lost a wallet. A wallet that someone lost. Do justly is living right with others. It means doing what is right even when no one is what?
Watching.
No one is watching. No one is looking. It means treating people fairly, honestly, and with respect. And you know where it starts? It starts at home. It begins with how we speak to each other, how we handle problems, and how we keep our promises. Sometimes when we fight, we don't fight fair. Sometimes when we fight at home, we don't fight fair. Sometimes we say, hey, we apologize for something in the past, and we get into a fight, and you know what we do? We bring up the same thing that happened in the past. Is that fighting fair? No, it's not. Justice begins at home. It begins with how we treat one another. The biggest criticism that we as Christians have sometimes is, hey, you look nice at church, but at home you're a different story. Justice starts at home. Amen? Isaiah 1 verse 17 says, learn to do what? Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help those who are treated badly. Care for children without parents. Stand up for widows. You know, I remember at the church I was at in Montreal, there was this single mom, and she told her son, follow Kuya David, means big brother David. Follow Kuya David, spend time with David all the time. Every Saturday, he'd come with me. Came with me to Sabbath school, sat with me at worship. He stayed with me for the afternoon program. When we went out somewhere in the evening, he was there with me. Every single Saturday, this young man was with me. Today, this young man is not in the church anymore. And people are like, is it my fault? Like, she put everything on me. And I was with him every Saturday for like once a week, right? Is that enough? People criticized her. They said, she doesn't take good care of her kids. She lets her kids run around and do these things. And one time I preached a sermon and I said, you know what? The Bible says we're supposed to take care of the fatherless. What's a fatherless? Someone whose parent is not there, right? Can you imagine, instead of taking care of the fatherless, you criticize the single parents? Is that a nice way to behave? Is that showing justice? They put a lot of stuff on me, who was with him once a week. They put a lot of stuff on her, who was with him by herself 6 days a week. But she was, as a single mom with two boys, did she have time to always spend with the kids? Not always, right? But can you imagine if the church was loving? If the church surrounded and supported the single mothers? How different that would be? Can you imagine? This is plead for the widow. I'm not saying necessarily the people ones who have husbands that have passed away. And yes, the Bible says that. But think about the people that are unmarried. Think about the single. Think about the ones that are divorced, that are coming to church and they're there by themselves, right? Does our church watch over them, check up on them, take care of them? It would make this community a nicer place if we showed justice to the fatherless and to the widows. Amen? I was going to say a verse, and where did I put it? When justice is present, relationships grow strong. When justice is missing, people get hurt. And we see that. We see that when things are not fair. Jesus came into a world where things were not fair. Powerful people were hurting the weak. Poor people were getting ignored. And those who needed help most were forgotten. The birth of Jesus was heaven's message to this world, that God hears the cries of the hurting people, and God sees those that others ignore. That's what he wanted us to do. Remember when Moses was called at the burning bush? Moses is busy with his shepherding, and he stops, he sees this bush on fire, and God says, Moses, I've called you. I want you to save. I've heard their cry. I'm sending you. Right? You know, God hears the cries of the people that are struggling. The people that are struggling with raising their kids on their own. The people that are struggling being single after getting separated or getting divorced. He hears them. But what if he's sending us to do something about it? The birth of Jesus was heaven's message to this world, that God hears the cries. And he's like, I'm sending my son. Now his son came, his son died for us, his son's up in heaven. And God gave a great commission for us to do what? Go and make disciples. People that follow Christ, that have the character that Christ has. Here's an application for the first part. Is there someone that you have treated unfairly? Even as a Christian, have you treated someone unfairly? Is there someone that you need to say sorry to? Maybe it's been years, but you've never apologized. Why not give that a try? Is there a problem you've avoided because it feels uncomfortable? Some people, when they offend someone, they're like, I'm not going to talk to them. And you'll see them at church and just walk the other way. And walk the other way. And eventually you can only avoid them for so long before you're finally like, okay, maybe I need to go to a different church. No comment. Anyways, one of the greatest gifts we can give God is to what? Make things right. All right, number two, love mercy. What does it mean to love mercy? I love this quote. It says, kindness makes you the most beautiful person in the world, no matter what you look like. So Micah doesn't say show mercy. He doesn't say tolerate mercy. He says love mercy. What does that mean? It means to delight in kindness the way God delights in kindness. Here's some examples, all right? Psalms 103. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in what? In mercy. He says in Micah 7, verse 18, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity? He delights in mercy. The word delight means to enjoy. God enjoys forgiving. Does that sound weird? He does not forgive reluctantly. He is eager to restore. That's one of the most beautiful truths about God. Mercy is not something that he gives because he has to. It's like, God, you must forgive me. It flows from his heart. You know, Ellen White says, the heart of God yearns over his earthly children with a love stronger than death. Mercy has the power to soften hearts, and mercy can begin healing where nothing else works. Do you remember this old song? It says, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, verily, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me. Now what? Now safe am I. And the words of the song go, love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Mercy can begin healing where nothing else has worked before. God loves mercy. At Christmas, mercy often begins closer than we expect. And so just an application for this part. Is there somebody who needs mercy from you this Christmas? Is there someone who hurt you? Is there someone who disappointed you? Is there someone who needs a second chance? Maybe they messed up again. Maybe you're mad at them again. Maybe they've disappointed you again. Have we done that to God? Have we messed up again, disappointed God again, done this again? And we go back to God and God says, I forgive you. I'm more eager to forgive you, right, than you are to come to me. But then he turns to us and says, do you need to forgive someone again this holiday season? Did someone disappoint you again? Did someone need a second chance? I did that to you. Can you extend that to someone else? Let's have mercy. Mercy is not weakness. Mercy is the strength of God's character shining through his people. Amen? There was a man who got a big fight with his brother, and they got so upset with each other, they stopped talking. And the man wrote a letter to his brother, and the letter said how he felt and how he wanted to fix things. And every Christmas, the man thought, this year, I'm going to send that letter. But every year, he didn't send it. He felt angry. He felt proud. He did not want to be the first one to reach out. So the letter stayed in his desk drawer for many years. And one day the man realized something important. He said, the letter was never really meant for my brother. It was for me. What he meant was this. The letter could have helped him let go of anger. It could have helped him feel peace. But he kept it hidden. And his heart stayed heavy. The story teaches us something about mercy. Mercy is not just about forgiving somebody else. Sometimes mercy helps us feel better inside. When we hold on to anger, it hurts us more than it hurts the other person. When we forgive, God helps us to feel lighter and free. Loving mercy is not about forgiving someone else. Sometimes it's about love. Loving mercy means, okay, I'm going to say that again. Holding on to anger hurts us more than it hurts anybody else. Loving mercy means forgiving others and letting God help our hearts feel better. Amen? Okay, number three. Walk humbly with our God. Humility is not hating yourself. It means walking with God at His pace and not our own. It means depending on God and not fighting against Him. It means being willing to learn. It means letting go of pride that is holding us back all the time. Philippians 2 says this, let this mind be in you, that was in Christ Jesus. He humbled himself and became obedient even to the point of what?
Death.
Of death. You know, Jesus was born in a manger, not a palace. He was born in a stable, not on a throne. Shepherds came to see him, not important leaders. God came down so he could lift us up. Humility opens the door for God to work. I like how Ellen White says this. She says, true humility is not the result of self-depreciation. It comes by beholding Christ. We see what he did, we understand why he did it, and it makes us really humble. God never asks people to live Micah 6:8 by themselves. Jesus came and lived it for us. Jesus showed justice when he helped people who were pushed aside and forgotten. He spoke to the woman at the well, right? She was not a Jew. He went up to her. He talked to her. He spent time with her. Jesus showed mercy when he forgave sinners and ate with people others rejected. Do we ever get a chance to do that? Jesus walked humbly with God when he gave up his glory and he became a servant. He said, the greatest in this kingdom must be a servant of all. As he washed other people's feet, he said, as I have done this to you, you do with one another. You know, the Lord will know we are his disciples by the love we have one to another. Micah 6:8 is not a command. It shows you the kind of life that Jesus lived. And you know what? He wants a people that reflect his character. Jesus said, I did this. I want you to do the same. I spoke to the woman at the well. I told her about what's to come. I spoke to the woman that was caught in adultery. I forgave her. I ate with these people. I serve these people. I want you to do the same. If there's a gift we could give to God this Christmas, it would be to be more like Christ. Amen? Here's the gift God wants most. A mother and her adult daughter were separated for many years. The daughter moved away, and they stopped talking. And anger and pain grew between them. One Christmas, the mother saved her money and bought her daughter a special gift. She wrapped it very carefully and sent it with a handwritten note. The daughter received the box, but she never opened it. She put it in her closet and forgot about it. Many years later, after the mother had died, the daughter was cleaning the house. She opened the box. She found the box, and it was still closed. She opened the closet, found the box. It was still closed. And with shaking hands, she opened it. Inside the box was a letter. And it said, all I want is to have you back. The daughter sat on the floor and cried. You know, so many times we give God gifts he never asked for. And yet we leave unopened the gift that he wants most. God wants restored relationships with him and with others. This is why, you know, the angels sang of peace at his birth. Glory to God on the highest, on the earth, peace and goodwill. On the earth, peace with everybody and goodwill. Us wanting the best for those around us. Next slide. Christmas begins when we finally open what God has been offering all along. So let's summarize. Micah 6 verse 8 is not a checklist to earn salvation. Micah 6 verse 8 is a description of what happens when salvation touches your heart. I put it there. It's not a checklist to earn salvation. It's a description of what happens when salvation touches your heart. Titus 2. For the grace of God that it brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and live righteously. God's grace teaches us to do what is right. It helps us to forgive one another, and it helps us to walk humbly. I like this quote, forgiveness is a virtue of the brave. Jesus does not tell us only what God wants. He empowers us. He gives us the power to be the people that God desires. Christmas is the announcement that grace has appeared. God does not wait for us to fix ourselves. He came to restore what was broken. He came to open what we have kept closed and to bring us home. So what will you give to God this Christmas? I know some people think about the gifts we give and we're like, what do I give this person? What do I give that person? You know, what should I give the homeless person? What should I give the teachers? What should I give? But what can we give back to God this holiday season? I've got a challenge for you, and this is how I'm closing. Three gifts. God gave three to us. He wants us to give the three back to Him. Number one, do justly. Make something right this holiday season. Take responsibility for something that you haven't taken responsibility of before. End a conflict. Can you imagine the conflict's been brewing for so long between two people that are both Christian, and you decide, this Christmas, my gift to God is I'm going to end that conflict. Apologize where needed. Number two, love mercy. Forgive someone. You've been holding this in your heart, not for the whole year, but for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. Go and forgive them. And tell God, God, my gift to you this holiday season is I'm going to forgive this person that's been hurting me. I've been holding onto this hurt for years. I'm going to forgive them. Show compassion. Give a second chance. Extend kindness to someone who does not expect it. Somebody said, be kind to unkind people. They probably need it the most. Going to say that again. Be kind to unkind people. They probably need it the most. And number three, walk humbly with our God. You're busy this season. You know what? Slow down. Spend time with God. Decide if you want to start reading the Bible from Genesis to Revelation for a year, starting January 1. Ask God to help him, to let him shape your decisions and your relationships. I want to ask you, look at this list and pick one thing you want to give to God this holiday season. And I want to ask you to pray about it, but do you want to pick one thing and say, I want to do that for God this holiday? This is my gift to him. It'll help you too, but it's my gift to him. Amen. Hey, let's bow our heads and let's say a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we talked a lot for just a short little bit about three verses, but you've shown us how you behaved. You showed us how you do justly, you love mercy, and how you walk humbly. And we know you want us to do the same with others. This holiday season, we want to give you a gift. We're so used to giving gifts to other people, but we want to give you a gift this holiday season. And it doesn't have to be a financial gift. If we did justly, if we ended a conflict, if we forgave someone, if we gave someone a second chance, if we were nice to people, if we changed our characters, if we were closer to the character you want us to have, I think you would really appreciate that gift from us this holiday season. So watch over us, dear Lord. Bless us with your Spirit and help us to have an awesome time this holiday season. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we sing hymn number 130, let us rise together. Number 130.
As kids, we asked a lot of things for ourselves. We were very selfish in the way we asked for things. And as we grew up, we put away childish things and we started asking for bigger things for the world, for our community, for our church. This Christmas season, let's pray that we would start giving more selfless things and less selfish things. Amen?
Amen?
Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, we want to thank you for your beautiful example. You came to show us how selfless you can be. You came to show us how to do justly, how to love mercy, and how to walk humbly. And we want to do the same this holiday season. Often we've thought about what we can do for others, what we can do, what we can give. And we're thinking, hey, we need to do this, need to do that. It's so busy. But what if this holiday season, instead of focusing on ourselves, we focus on what we can give you to make this world a brighter place? Please watch over us. Help us to spread joy and peace this holiday season. Help us to have goodwill toward everyone. And watch over all of us as we do our best to follow and exemplify your character. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.